My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to TFL Talking Trucks. As always, I'm Andrei Smirnov, and today's topic has to do with fuel, which is, of course, important to all of us. I'm talking about, of course, gasoline, diesel, other types of fuel for a lot of the trucks and cars that we drive. And I have a very special guest on this episode. It is Jim Keebler. Jim, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Andrei.
Jim, can you please introduce yourself and kind of set the stage, some of your background?
Okay. I'm Dr. Jim Keebler. I'm on the faculty in the Supply Chain Management Department here at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. I actually got my PhD here in the year 2000 as a very old guy, 53 years old when I started up. I've had a very lengthy career in the military, Transportation Corps, and I've worked for several big companies over a 25-year period, with lots of those jobs having responsibility for transportation by barge, truck, train, ships, planes, and even pipelines. So I have an operations understanding about making distribution and sourcing and the flows to get material from where it's produced, sourced, to where it's going to be demanded or consumed. And so that I guess equips me to talk a little bit about supply and demand in this area for fuels, from jet fuel to home heating oils, including gasoline and other fuels. So okay. I teach many courses here at undergraduate and graduate. I've been at UT for 3.5 years. I retired a couple of times having worked all of my life, but I love the classroom and I love to learn. And by teaching students, I get the chance to learn from them as well.
Awesome. So I want to kind of set the discussion up a little bit, and it has to do with a recent story, what, about a week or maybe 2 weeks ago, which kind of surfaced up in the media, and also something very recent, just a couple of days ago, the Colonial Pipeline, right?
Right.
So the news that surfaced said something about that there is a current shortage in truck drivers who drive tanker trucks. So basically, when you're going by your corner gas station, you may see a big tanker truck replenishing the station. And there is a sort of a shortage there. And of course, it raises a lot of other questions what perhaps higher pricing for fuel, maybe some shortages somewhere, maybe not everywhere, but certain places, right? Right. And also Colonial Pipeline just so happened that they had a cyber attack several days ago.
Yes, and they're still shut down as far as I know.
Yeah, and they supply, what, about 45% of Eastern fuel needs?
Yes, it's 55,000 miles of pipeline, principally moving from the Gulf Coast, Houston, and all across the southern states into the East Coast. They produce, provide about 45% of the East Coast fuel usage. So it's a pretty dramatic issue when that pipeline shuts down.
Yeah, that's, and I don't know if people are already feeling the effects of it. I mean, as far as this sector is concerned, how fast do you think it moves, this kind of demand and supply?
Well, it's moving very fast right now, coming off of the shutdown caused by the pandemic, where people stayed home, worked from home, weren't driving, didn't fill up the car. What that did was it took a pre-pandemic situation where there's a shortage of about 10% of the tanker fleet drivers up to about 25% shortage. So we've got sitting idle every day, 25% of the tanker fleet. That's according to the National Tank Truck Carrier Association. And what happened to these drivers? Well, they went someplace else. They, not having work, they either retired or they converted to a different industry, construction materials or hauling boxes for Amazon. So the drivers kind of disappeared and they're not being replaced. A couple of the issues dealing with tanker drivers is they have to have a CDL and special hazmat certifications and fuel tanker fuel certifications. And even those schools that produced those certifications have shut down. So resupplying a pool, which was already inadequate, is a big choke point right now. So the drivers work hard. They make about $25 an hour. $80,000 a year would be a really good pay for tanker drivers. So how do you attract drivers to come to work? Individual companies like Pilot, they have programs that that recruit and retain drivers because they know how important it is to their business. But for the average retail gas station, those folks don't have much control. And if they are located in areas where people are now going back to work in droves or going on vacation in droves, those vacation hotspots may see some shortages, not because we lack fuel. There is fuel in the system. I see reports saying there's ample supply of gasoline for summer and fall. That's from AAA. Pilot has said recently, last couple of days, that they have adequate supply of fuel. It's getting the delivery from the tank farms into the last mile component of actually taking it to the retail gas stations. And you need a tanker trucker for that. And we just don't have enough of them right now.
Yeah, I actually got a kind of a first person view into this area in February of 2021, just a couple months ago. I actually got my CDL.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It wasn't a tanker CDL or a hazmat or hazardous material license, but I do have a Class A license that allows me to drive any tractor with a trailer or multiple trailers, actually. And I went to Southwest School, truck driving school in Phoenix, Arizona for this. And the reason why I actually went, well, it's been a long story, but the reason why I had to go there in February is because so they had, first of all, shut down, like you said, for maybe some sort of time last year. Then they have classrooms about half the size of what they were because they have to do certain social distancing rules and regulations. And they weren't able to get all the people right through the school. Mm-hmm. And so they had me go there. I went there for 2 days to take my final driving test. And they're like, we need to get you in and out, because after this, all the classes are full, right? They said, you know, we cannot, you know, have any, you know, other special arrangements, because we just want to get the drivers, you know, educated and, you know, graduate them so they can actually go and work. So that was very interesting. Also, what I learned is driving a truck is not as easy as people might think. So yeah, I mean, especially a tanker, that's the weight is up high, right?
Right.
So you're carrying, first of all, your cargo is moving because your liquid may slosh around.
Yeah, if it's not full, it's moving around.
Yeah, you know, some tankers have baffles and stuff like that to prevent a lot of the moving around, but your center of gravity is high. You have to have certain skills, right, and certain knowledge, right, about how to do it safely. And there's a lot of, you know, extra tests you have to take in order to make it happen. So I can kind of see why there's a shortage of drivers, because it's not a, you know, job that everybody can do immediately, right? You need to learn. And also the other aspects that you talked about. But if I look at AAA gas price website right now, I'm just trying to understand this and make sure, you know, is this a major cause for concern, or is this, you know, not major? Right now, the average price per gallon of regular gasoline is around $2.96, which is quite high, but not anywhere near, you know, some of the crazy other pricing we've seen in the past.
Yeah, that's about 7 cents a gallon more than it was a week ago.
So it is climbing.
It is drifting upwards. And generally, people anticipate prices of fuel will go up in the summer because demand is going up in the summer. And but right now, it's affordable in most places. I'm starting to drive more myself. As I mentioned, I only did 1,400 miles in my own vehicle in 6 months between oil changes, where I normally do, you know, 20,000 miles a year. So there's a huge surge of demand right now hitting the retail outlets, the gas stations, who have to wait until they get scheduled to be replenished. And we're concerned at the macro level that we don't really have a good forecast on how big that demand is going to be by all the various places of the demand. And so having that last mile capability, getting it to the gas station, is a critical link in the whole supply chain. The production of oil is there. We have inventory stocks of tanker farms. And so it's not that we're running out of fuel, we're running out of the capability to get it to the gas stations.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I didn't know the capacity and or extent of the Colonial Pipeline.
That's very dramatic. And
yeah, as a regular consumer, I guess, I don't live on the East Coast, but it's not something that was on top of my mind.
Yeah.
but now it's becoming quite important.
It can be a major alarm. I don't know what specific cyber attack ransomware was used in this, but they basically shut down for 3 or 4 days now. And this Colonial Pipeline delivers about 2.5 million barrels a day, 100 million gallons a day to the East Coast. So that's fuel that's not getting to points of demand that can't get the fuel. And so that is a big concern. A pilot here in Knoxville just announced a couple of days ago that they have adequate supplies of fuel.
Can you briefly explain what pilot is? Pilot is basically, I guess. Yeah,
Pilot Flying J is a huge corporation, one of the major retailers of gas. You see their tankers on the road all the time. And that's a great place to stop if you're doing a lot of interstate driving. They're huge. And so they're paying particular attention about not only the supply longer term, they're covered now, but with drivers. So they're probably doing some specific things to hire and retain their drivers in these high demand periods that wouldn't have to be done when they have enough drivers to employ every day.
And I guess on the plus side, we talked about, you know, the difficulty of driving a vehicle like this, the tanker. I think on the plus side, there may be an increase in salary, right? Because
well, I think that's going to, it's supply and demand. So if the if fuel's going to be demanded, and the risk is you're going to shut down consumption because you can't supply it, then you're going to figure out what the weak links are and shore that up. And so, yes, I think maybe there'll be some incentives in terms of hiring, some bonuses for staying on longer, those kinds of things. We don't need any more attrition in this driver sector. We need to hire and equip more drivers. So your point about the school rushing through, because they're limited, their capacity has been constrained because of COVID. And so they're limited to be able to turn out as many as they used to. So this COVID has had a tremendous awakening factor for people who don't pay too much attention, like pipelines. I mean, what could be more boring than pipelines, right? Well, it's actually a fairly sophisticated business with different grades of fuel and how you have to store it and handle it and account for it and all that.
Yeah, it's very important when you're stopping by and there's a line at your gas station and there is no fuel.
Not old enough for the 1970. I mean, I lived out in California and I had two vehicles and I was doing 70 miles a day, one way to work. And so I had an odd license number and an even ending license number. And I was down at the gas station every morning at 5:30 in line for it to open so I could get my 10 gallons because we were allocated because of the shortage. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that there will be certain markets that will feel the pain a lot more than other markets. So we'll see a lot of pricing differences across the country. Places that don't have a high demand or locations, vacation spots and such, are going to all of a sudden be short. I'll mention another thing is the drivers will source out if it's not too far. Another source if they can't get it at their home area. Hurricanes come and go in Florida all the time. And when it shuts down the electrical system in Miami, those drivers scoot over to Sarasota on the Gulf Coast to get their fuel. So those kinds of situations are temporary and they can be handled locally. These kinds of situations are national, the shortage of drivers. It's not a local situation. It's a national situation. So it's probably going to have some cure at a national level. There's got to have to be some recognition that people are going to be very upset if they can't count on getting gas in the car to do what they want and need to do.
Well, yeah. So yeah, it is serious. I mean, I guess you and I right now, I mean, we don't have the vision into the exactly what's happening on the ground this minute, but I wouldn't say, I mean, definitely we don't want to create, you know, some sort of a panic or something like that. But you were saying about a day, about 50,000 tanker trucks are needed.
Right. A typical tanker truck carries about 8,000 gallons of fuel. And right now at current demand, which is about 9.5 million barrels a day or 400 million gallons, we need 50,000 tanker trucks and drivers to replenish these gas stations
every day. Per day.
Every day. Yeah. Every day. So 50,000 is a fairly substantial number. It's spread out over the U.S. So any one location probably isn't. I don't know what the size of fleets are at Pilot and Shell and other places that are doing this every day, but I'm sure they're doing all they can to recruit and retain their drivers and not lose them to a competitor.
Yeah, I understood. And I also want to say, I want to add something where if you see a tanker or any big truck driver or truck on the highway, be courteous.
Absolutely.
You know, because... Well,
my tradition is I haven't got a traffic ticket for 50 years. And when I do long distance, I do a lot of long distance driving on occasion. I just get in behind one of those tanker trucks and let them drive the comfortable, safe way. And I maintain my distance. I avoid all that craziness going on in the left lane. I'm a motorhomer. I've raised seven kids, and we've had several motorhomes and been all over the U.S. And having professional drivers out there to keep everybody safe is well important. So
Totally. And what you hate to see is in traffic in a major city, you know, there is big trucks driving and a lot of people are impatient and they're going in front of them, you know, cutting them off. And that's not something you want to see, obviously.
Yeah. Well, we can't live with them and we can't live without them in some of these major metropolitan areas. I mean, Atlanta had a little bit of snow 2 or 3 years ago. They had to shut down Atlanta for 3 days because they were all jammed up with truck drivers. And I know the local government people were getting pretty mad at all that trucking going on. And, you know, we have to provide the opportunity for products to get replenished. The Americans we're lazy and we're demanding and we're impatient and fickle. But look at what's happened in the internet. I mean, both UPS and FedEx have weathered the windfall of volume. I mean, just all these products going every day by truck is a competitor to other products going by truck, and not just for the truck drivers and the trucks, but also for the space and the parking and all those things. So we're a mobile economy here. We're a big economy, but we have to pay more attention to those critical linkages that can ruin the efficient flows of products.
I gotcha. So I want to ask you a little bit more about supply and demand kind of in general terms. I wanted to see if you predicted the toilet paper supply problem.
Well, that was a fictitious demand. I mean, the first thing Americans do when they get scared is they hog, they hoard, they buy up all of this stuff that they can afford, knowing that over the next 5 or 6 years, they'll probably use it. But that was not actual demand. That's one of the problems, is getting a good read on what is really actual demand and trying to meet that by filling the pipeline or resupplying to meet the actual demand. But when you have those kinds of panic buying situations, then people will, you know, in the case of fuel oil, people will start filling up everything, every container they can find and hoard the fuel. And that spikes demand, and it's not real actual demand. So they have to work that into their algorithms when they look at what's the reaction to hints of shortages. And I agree, we shouldn't let people know that we're ringing a serious alarm, because we do have gas. We've got a systematic issue here about how do we attract and retain certain critical employees and equipment to sustain the kind of demand that a growing economy produces.
Absolutely. And I think there are a couple of other positive items here. So as far as vehicles are concerned, the vehicles are getting more efficient. And, you know, right. we do stories about this almost every day or every week where, you know, it's also important in pickup trucks, which is kind of where we are here at TFL Truck. Pickup truck is one of the most popular vehicles on sale, right?
It has been, but if you can't get the chips for them and you have to price them $70,000, $80,000, they're going to lose a lot of demand.
Yes, that's a whole thing. Yeah, where are all the chips? Where are all the semiconductors?
Taiwan.
Yeah.
See, that's another issue about supply chain management, that we shouldn't take it for granted, because we've offshored, we're sourcing overseas critical components, not just chips, but rare earth minerals. I mean, China owns 74% of all the rare earth minerals that we need to keep our electronic digital society going. So supply chain management is the solution for demand and supply issues. And it has to be looked at very strategically, very long term, because you get prepared today to continue what you've been doing last year, you can be out of business because of the critical products not being available. So we're seeing a change here as supply chain management. We're seeing more back reshoring, bringing back to the U.S., our domestic area, more of the products that we've sourced overseas because of more favorable tax rates or much lower labor costs. So it's a big issue, but it is a global economy, and we are interdependent on other sources and other systems working so that our system will work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's getting quite complex.
What's so fun about supply chain management. Just a little plug for University of Tennessee. We have a super supply chain program here. We have more students enrolled in our supply chain courses, not as a department in the college, but as a department across the whole university. We have more students learning supply chain management than psychology and sociology and all those things, because there's a huge demand now that's starting to be really felt, that we need to bring people in who can think strategically and systemically about how things fit and flow together. You can't sub-optimize or reduce things down to a little component of something, because it's so interconnected and dependent on other components in the system. And so that's what we see here, whether we're talking about toilet paper or lumber or fuel or whatever. It's stocks and flows. It's anticipating and meeting the demand when and where it occurs, or learning to wait. And Americans, as I mentioned, we're very impatient consumers.
Yeah, we are.
And we take everything for granted. Water, I mean, if you look at what's going on in the world, you know, most countries, underdeveloped countries, don't have water. I mean, just simple things. And so we're pretty spoiled here. And I think we have to take a pause and think about the big picture. What can we do as individuals? Don't hoard and don't cause any panics. And be prepared to pay more where demand exceeds the current supply. But the good news is we have oil. U.S. can be self-sufficient in oil if we want it to be. It's getting the products where they need to be when they need to be there. And that's the fun part about supply chain management is scheduling.
Yeah, and you know, I imagine that whenever an issue arises, you know, we solve it.
Eventually. It's kind of self-correcting, either with prices. Prices are used to demarket or slow down demand. That's not real demand. If you got to have it, you got to have it. And fuel, unfortunately, is one of those commodities that you're going to pay whatever you have to pay, because you just can't park the car and walk. So we can complain about it, but we're gonna pay it. It will redirect demand, as I mentioned. Miamians driving up to Sarasota to get fuel when they can't get it locally, but people will go out of their way to make sure that they're taken care of. We just got to prevent against hoarding, and I don't think that's going to happen with the fuel thing. But, tanker drivers now are starting to earn a lot more respect, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot more respect and probably a lot more dollars they're earning.
I hope so. I mean, most people may not realize it's the average tanker pay is about $55,000 a year, about $25 an hour. Top earners in tanker trucks are earning about $80,000 a year, but they work hard for it. And it's not a fun job. It's a dangerous job. But they're very critical to our economy.
Okay. So obviously we'll be watching this topic very closely. Oh, and one last question I wanted to ask you, Jim. So you mentioned there are a lot of students in kind of your department with the supply chain. I mean, these jobs are all over the industry. I mean, all over many industries, right?
Absolutely. Anybody who produces or buys anything is in a supply chain. And the issue is not, are there supply chains? There are millions of supply chains. But it's to what degree do we manage these supply chains in more strategic, systemic? And so it requires a lot more collaboration and partnering between companies wherever they are located across the supply chain, from sources, original sources, all the way through the different value-added transformation processes down to final delivery and consumption. But every company is a part of the supply chain, and your success and well-being is dependent upon how well other components of your supply chain are operating. So when the tanker fleet gets depleted and don't have drivers, fuel companies go out of business, or they'll have to make some dramatic changes to adjust. As I mentioned, it does self-adjust over time. Like, one of the things we haven't mentioned was what is the impact of electric vehicles? Well, the word is out on that. It's still kind of a pilot. I think we're going to have gasoline engines for many, many, many years.
Well, right now, the electric vehicle, is a single-digit percentage, maybe a couple of percentages overall, as far as the fleet of all vehicles is concerned in the U.S. Right. So I think, that's going to ramp up, but obviously that's an alternative.
No, it's not going to have a short-term impact at all.
Yeah.
Maybe driving habits. I mean, we have to adjust our driving habits to the availability of price of gas. And so that'll be an issue. So I guess because the summer is coming on and everybody's anxious to get rid of the masks and get out and go party and play and all of that, there's going to be a huge surge. And so that could result in some inconvenient short-term shortages in different locations.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching this. Thank you, Jim, for your time.
Thank you, Andre, and congratulations for getting that driver's license. I mean, that certification. You've probably gotten many, many calls about people wanting to know if you're available for a run.
I may have a second job here pretty soon.
So. I think so, yeah. It's not a bad life if you like to travel a lot.
Yeah, totally. Well, I do have kind of young kids still, so hopefully I won't be able to, leave them for very long.
Yeah. Okay, that works.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Andre. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.